Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Halloween edition of Blue Shirt Underground Radio.
What's going on,
Eddie? Eddie, how are you, buddy?
How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good despite what's going on in Rangerland. I hope everybody else is doing good despite. But, I'm doing good, man. Everybody says I'm bundled up. I'm just wearing a long-sleeve shirt tonight, which is very rare for me. Always run a little bit warm, Jim.
Well, welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the your internet radio home of the most deceptive 3-2 and 2 team in hockey.
It's been a wild ride. Really, maybe it hasn't been a wild ride. It's a very somnambulant ride. Look that
way. You know, this show's a lot like the Rangers. We're ugly and we get the hell out of here.
And we get the job done.
That's right. Did you hear those great remarks from Boss Hogg, the coach, the other night after the game? We're ugly, but that's what you got to do and you get the hell out of there.
Yeah. It's a lot better than his post-conference words the other night against Edmonton. Holy manoli. Sports blew a proverbial gasket on that one.
We sucked. I'm not going to talk to you guys. Good night.
Good night. And really, that about summed it up. But you would like a little more professionalism from your coach, perhaps. Maybe not to be have the reaction of a fan. Perhaps rise to the occasion. But as we've seen, little Napoleon, as I call him. Because even Napoleon might be too tall for him. He's little Napoleon did not like it one bit.
And you know, it's got me, you know, now it just looks like all that goodwill and cheer and smiling and pride he had last year, and we joked about the kindler, gentler torts. It's all a load of crap, Eddie. Like most things that surround this organization, it's all a load of crap.
Yeah, you know, when the Rangers start to lose, that's when Torts starts to unravel. When things are good, he's Mr. Nice Guy. But once a thing, he'll blame everybody on the team. But he'll take no.
Oh, not everybody.
Yeah. Well, not everybody.
Not everybody.
Not himself and not freaking Mike Sullivan. Jesus. But well, who are you saying that he won't blame? Who's the guy you're saying he won't blame anybody?
Well, he doesn't seem to blame. He never blames Brandon Dubinsky for anything, does he?
He has in the past gotten on Dubinsky,
like 2 years ago.
Not as much. But you're right. He'd be whipping him a lot harder than he has.
He kept the team the other night against Edmonton. you know,
right.
He was like rolling a line and a half by the time he was done benching everybody in that debacle. I don't know. You know, I've defended this guy for a long time, and he's just, I don't know. He's just,
it's hard to defend when they're losing.
It's not even that. I guess it's that. He's an asshole. You know, and he's not even a lovable asshole, you know, like some of our fine folks here in the chat room. You know? He's not a lovable asshole. He's just an asshole.
Well, yes.
Speak on the show, John Cinderella.
I would just like for him to come out and say, listen, I didn't have the team prepared, we didn't do this, I didn't do that. Just once in a while to take one for the team, which he doesn't seem to do ever. He likes to throw people under the bus, so to speak. We said that a lot of times about this guy. The remedies to the situations just don't work. So why do you keep banging your head against the wall with the constant line changing? We've been talking about this on the Facebook group all week, and most of us have been talking about this since the show began, and he's been coach, that this line change stuff just, it's not working. Judging a line by each shift is not normal. It should be going on a game-to-game basis, not to see what line is going and what player is going at that individual time. That's such micromanaging. And I think it's also doesn't cause – you don't get any chemistry that way. I mean, I saw a guy – you know, we've seen the same old deal. Guys go from the first line to the fourth line within three shifts. And it's the same old story with this guy. When they lose, he's very frustrating because he'll just say, I have no answers. And when he benched Gavrik in the Winnipeg game, that's when, you know, what do you say? Is this guy acting like a coach or a temperamental, like, a quasi-adult figure? Like, he's got to practice this tough stuff. He's not acting like a coach because you need shots on goal. I don't care if Gavrik's been playing the best out of any of the Rangers. And he's benching them? I mean, maybe he makes it personal. This is just business. I mean, you guys got to agree with me. I mean, you're benching Marion Gavrik. But meanwhile, last year, I mean, Gavrik, you know, had a tough season, not many benchings. You know, game five or game six, Marion the right department. What did we get Brad Richards for? I mean, we paid a guy $8 million to pass to Brian Boyle and Mike Rupp. I saw that line. You want to talk about getting ready to hit the vomitorium after that? I got to see Boyle and Rupp playing with the $8 million man. I mean, what kind of psychotic, psychotropic drugs is this guy on? I mean, enough is enough. How is that pack line ever going to get going if they don't play together for a whole game?
How's any line going to get going together if they don't play together for a whole game?
Exactly.
You know, it's a new kids song. It's the Tortsy Pokey. You know, you put your right wing in, you take your left wing out, you put your fourth line center in, and you shake it all about. You do the Tortsy Pokey, and you turn the team around, and that's what it's all about. It's ridiculous.
There's nobody. Who's going to tell them to stop? Is anybody going to tell them to stop? If I were the captain, I'd be like, listen, Ryan Callahan, listen, I know you're the coach, Torts, but keep the lines together. It's not working. I know he can't do that. He's the captain. The player can't usurp the coach's thing, but Sailor should be like, listen.
It's not like we've never had a captain usurp. It's not like we've never had a captain usurp the coach before.
Well, that's
talking about it last night on the Facebook group there. They ran the 1992 Patrick Division semifinal highlights, and Al Troutwick is interviewing Mark Messier, and they're talking about Roger Nielsen. He says, oh, give us your thoughts on Roger Nielsen. And I'm yelling at the TV, yeah, tell everybody how you got him fired. He didn't mention that, though. Tell everybody how you went running to Neil Smith. You got to fire this guy.
Well, yeah, it's that's true.
It's been done.
It's been done before. I don't know. I think everybody will agree that the Winnipeg game was a complete snore fest. I mean, if you're a Winnipeg fan, you thought, wow, this team has come a long way. I mean, the fact there was like 4 minutes of straight Rangers zone time. Here's the paradox I don't get. If we're very defensive, why is the other team always in our zone? And Tortorella will say, he said on ESPN radio today that he thinks the defense has played well. And, yeah, I guess, I mean, you're giving up a lot of shots. The goaltender's got to be George Vezina in there every night in order for them to win. Is that good? I mean, they're giving up a lot of quality shots. Now, I know they're playing with a second-line pairing of Delzato and Tim Erickson, and the third pairing with whether it's Roy Witka, then it was Bell, and who's the other moron I can't think of right now?
Eminger,
who, I did get on Mark a couple of weeks ago on the Facebook page about Eminger, but let's not overstate how good Eminger is. Eminger's actually been serviceable, but compared to those other two clowns, he looks great. Wojtka, I think that he's a better option than Brendan Bell. Brendan Bell looked to be, although he's a little bit more offensive, got caught on one play, and I think he's immediately been banished. I don't think he'll play. Now the Rangers are supposedly looking at Anton Strahlman. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Guy who couldn't make the guy who couldn't stay with the Blue Jackets, right? This guy couldn't make the Blue Jackets.
I looked at his stats. He may be able to add some offense on the back line, but
just like McCabe did.
Right. Again, it's the whole, Glenn Sather, we're looking for a Hyundai at a Cadillac at a Hyundai price.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's
the Omar Minaya, school of method here for, he would just 100 guys who have pitched relief pitching at some point in their lives, throw them all up against the wall and see if you can get three that stick. And that's what the Rangers are doing with defense right now, trying to hold on and piece together Wojtka and Brendan Bell and Eminger. And, meanwhile, poor Ilkka Heikkinen had to get banished back to Switzerland or Sweden or wherever he went.
Yeah, they didn't have any interest in him.
Yeah.
And so what?
3 points in 7 games, by the way, and he's only making $1 million.
Get out of here. I heard he was hurt. He's got 3 points in 7 games.
3 assists. Yes, sir. He's on pace for a career year.
That's more than any Ranger defenseman other than McDonough, I think, right now. Wow. This Matt Gilroy may, at 29, maybe hitting his stride. Maybe he's still growing into his body.
Finally growing into his body. That's just it. He's peaking.
I gotta check my stats. Matt Gilroy, huh?
You don't believe me.
Wow, you are correct, sir.
He didn't believe
me. Plus two. I don't know. Matt Gilroy, I know he's a favorite of yours. I know sometimes you like to promote guys you like. And although I was saying for Matt Gilroy, I was like, no way, $1 million, no way. Well, they gave Eminger $600,000 or whatever they gave him. $550,000, $600,000, $650,000. I mean, what's another $350,000?
Yeah.
Put that in the can.
They got that in the couch cushions.
Yeah. Matt Gilroy, I think we just had enough of him anyway. But this all points to one thing. And I'm going to say it, folks. I'm going to be first one. I reported this on Twitter, and I don't care. What's my reputation anyway? I have no reputation. I'm telling you right now, this all points to Mark Stahl is not coming back for the rest of the year. If they are trying to find defensemen everywhere, in every way, and from what I heard, Tortorella, what I read into what he said today on ESPN, It's not there with Stahl. He's not anywhere close to coming back. So it's to say he's out for the year is it's a long time that has to go by, but he's still not there. So it's unfortunate. I think the Rangers are still solid without him. The way that McDonough's playing, he's playing fantastic. Girardi's playing fantastic. But with Sauer coming back in the opener, they should be a lot steadier, So it's going to be where I don't think the Rangers, Jim, I think you'll agree with me. They're not as bad as they're never as bad as they seem to be, and they're never as good as they seem to be. So I think things are going to get better to a certain degree. I think they need to play at home, get into a regular schedule. These games have been, they worry me. I mean, this team, they don't get any quality shots on net, the Rangers.
No.
They don't get quality shots.
They don't get
shots.
Any shots, period. I mean, even when they beat, I figured it out the other night. I think they had, when they took the lead on Winnipeg, after being outplayed for most of that game, and then they went up, what was it, 1-0? They took the
right.
lead, right? They scored first. They were up 1-0, and they only had like 6 shots on goal. And I thought, okay, so the last 5 goals they've scored were on 25 shots, but those thrilling 18 shots on goal in between in Edmonton just kind of wore them down, wore them out a little bit, I guess.
And they're making these goalies. I mean, Winnipeg, was it Chris Mason was in net? That's a bum. Then the other guy, was it Henrik Karlsson in Calgary? That guy's a bum. Get shots on these guys. Now, I see Javi Boulin's a good goalie. In order to beat him, you've got to get shots on that hit, on that. And that defense led by Corey Potter. Talk about a Ranger. Now he's quarterbacking their power play. I mean, Edmonton must be really hurting, And we watch him get his second career goal against us.
Yeah,
and the Rangers goaltenders have been playing phenomenal. I don't know. I don't have the answer to what's going on. I just don't see any sustained pressure. Their philosophy, the Rangers, their coaches, is that their goal scoring opportunities have to come off their forecheck and their, especially the pack line. They have to be in there grinding away, and then they get their scoring chances. But they just have not looked good. Anisimov has not played well. Dubinsky certainly has not played well. Callahan looked good, I think, against Winnipeg. Looked a little bit – some Ranger fans – I'll pose this question to you. Some Ranger fans say that he's not – hitting or blocking as many shots as he did pre-captaincy. What do you guys think about that? What do you think about that?
Me personally, I think he's played okay. He's killing so many damn penalties, at least through the first few games, that there was no possibility of them getting in any kind of offensive flow. The honeymoon's over for him, I'll tell you that much, as far as Ranger fans are concerned. I don't know. Chris Drury got 3 years. This guy got 6 games. I mean,
patience isn't one of our virtues, let's put it that way.
I guess so. Hey, listen, I'm picking up some audio feedback here, and apparently it's mostly when you talk, but I'm the only one that hears it. So I'm going to hang up and call right back in, all right?
No, I think I might be able to correct that on my end.
Oh, you think it is you? Because nobody else is hearing it.
All right, let's try it now. Still hear
see
it?
That, yeah, no, see, that's better. It's fixed.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll keep talking.
You get, what are you running, a ham radio over there at the same time or something?
Yeah, I'm talking to my friends in Zimbabwe right now.
Oh, okay. Well, we got listeners over there.
Yeah, we got listeners everywhere, let's face it. I think the there was another point I wanted to make. Well, I just want to go back to that Winnipeg game. I mean, that game was atrocious. I mean, it was one of those games where we got the breaks in the calls I thought the refs were really jobbing the Jets all over the place. For the amount of time that that team had the puck in our zone, there had to be way more penalties to be called against the refs.
Sorry.
I don't know what it is.
Let me hang up and call back in. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
So, I thought that the old New York Rangers, what happened? Am I still on the air, guys? It says I'm not. Come on and touch me, babe. All right. So you just heard me do my
back.
Okay. It said that I was discontinued and I started taking the Doors. The Winnipeg game was very disappointing. It was probably one of the ugliest Ranger wins in a long time. But like we all said, we'll take the 2 points. How many times have we seen it as Ranger fans where we dominate and come up with no points? So in the karma of it all, I feel good about it. But the bottom line is, Jim, the teams we played suck. Calgary is bad. Edmonton, they're young, but they are bad defensively. Winnipeg is bad. I'm worried when we start playing the Pittsburghs and the Flyers. Well, the Flyers aren't doing so great, but they are a heated rival. If we start playing the better teams, the Capitals. How about the Capitals there? How are we going to do against those guys? You know? And they did curb the penalties. The march to the penalty box was much better against Winnipeg. I guess you could count that as a small victory, but, and everybody's saying, oh, they went 3-1 on the road trip. They really didn't, even though we count the on the game as a home game. They were 3-2. But all in all, when it's said and done, they kind of salvaged this bad start with points. So I try to look at it on that side as a good thing.
Yeah, they've been away for a month, you know, and it's got to take its toll. I don't care what Boss Hogg says, it takes its toll, and you know, but hopefully we'll see the results when they come home. You know, if they don't play better when they come home, they're going to find themselves looking up at the Islanders and Devils they already are, aren't they? Or they're looking up at the Devils. So, but we'll see. The big home openers tomorrow night, the Chase blue carpet, because the red carpet wasn't big enough. It's because Coke wouldn't sponsor it, so they got Chase to do it. And did you see in the commercials they're playing the Can You Hear Us clip?
Ah!
Yeah.
You fucking copycats, I'm coming after you all.
They only copy the best. Wait till they come out with the shirts that say, Can You Hear Us? Then that's
right.
When they get copped, right? Infringement
right.
On them.
For their new internet radio show, Blue Shirt Subterranean Radio. Yeah, starring Jim Cerny.
Oh, that fucking bald bitch. I hate him. Why do I hate him? I don't know.
Yeah, their attempt to branch out into internet radio, that was a colossal flop, huh?
Yeah. Oh, come on. You don't take phone calls. You have freaking people emailing questions. You gotta, the people have to come and voice their uncensored opinions. This is the Ranger fans, you can't bullshit, like we say in the open, you can't BS a Ranger fan. We know you're bullshitting us. So don't try to come with your mamby-pamby, broadcasts and commentaries. You got to be sincere and you got to be right to the heart of the matter, as Don Henley would say.
Mark, what was it like to finally raise that Stanley Cup after 54 years of frustration for Ranger fans? You're listening to New York Rangers Internet Radio live on Rangers.com.
Morons. So you got the tomorrow night, big night at the Garden. The renovations are in. I heard it looks beautiful. Somebody on our Facebook group admitted to going to a Duran Duran concert.
The WPLJ 20th anniversary concert was last night.
I was thinking to myself, how did Duran Duran sell at the Garden?
Yeah, it was the PLJ 20th anniversary. It was the WPLJ Scott and Todd 20th anniversary concert. They're celebrating. They've been on the air 20 years already, which is kind of amazing. For any morning show to last that long, I mean, you know, it's pretty impressive. So they had a concert last night. I guess they gave away a lot of tickets. You could buy tickets, the whole bit, and so that's what that was all about.
Yeah, so I guess that was the whole big deal, and we got good reports on how it looks. I see Marcy Braverman's joined us. She posted, our Facebook group about the Winter Classic tickets. Two to a season ticket subscriber, and I think there's some kind of caveat with that. You have to be a certain amount of years
right.
Put in as a season subscriber. You know what that minimum is?
No, I don't think I don't think they've qualified that yet, as they say. I think it's just they're just defining it as a long-term season ticket subscriber, which means that if you know Shithead and Brillstein loyal law offices have tickets for 30 years that they use to entertain clients, they might get first crack to entertain clients in Philadelphia, and they might not give a shit about the Rangers. Not that that.
It's
not
true,
that
but
that
I don't see
the New York Rangers organization.
Yeah, I don't see the suits turning up for an outdoor game in the freezing cold on January 3rd or 4th, whenever they're held in that.
Oh, but they can sell the tickets and charge double to the average
right.
Howie, Mario, and Chandler that want to go to the game. You know.
I want to go to that game. I'd pay $250, $200 to go to that game.
Wow.
But I think it's good. Why, do you think it's going to be a one-off for the Rangers, or do you think there'll be in another one, maybe in New York? Because
I don't think they won't be in – I don't remember when this agreement expires with Yankee Stadium and this College Bowl that they play, the Pinstripe Bowl. I want to say it's 2014 maybe. There won't be a Winter Classic in New York until at least that expires, because the NHL has no interest in playing a game at Citi Field. And they want Yankee Stadium or nothing, and they don't want to play it at MetLife. But they can't play it at Yankee Stadium because of this Pinstripe Bowl. They play a college bowl game there, and they can't have it ready. No, if they wanted to play it at Citi Field, it would have been there this year. They have no interest in playing it at Citi Field. There's no
why.
What are they going to go play it at the home of the Brooklyn Dodgers? There's no panache to play it at there. If the Mets were still in Shea Stadium,
Yankee
it's yours.
Stadium. What the hell?
I get what you're saying, but it's still Yankee Stadium. It's whatever, you know, whether it's the third incarnation or whatever it is, it's Yankee Stadium. It's Yankee Stadium and Citi Field.
The Phillies got it. What do they play? Citi Bank. Whatever they call that bandbox. There's no prestige in that.
I'm telling you.
I think it's Citi Field, they would sell out that place. Are you kidding me? Every one of us knuckleheads would be down there. Even you.
Not this knucklehead.
Let's agree to disagree.
All right, we'll agree to disagree. Now, they are asking in the chat room already about our major announcement. Now, do you want to get some calls in first, and then we'll do the announcement? Make them wait a few minutes. You know, like Paulie said.
I think Frosty's got to go to bed soon.
Oh, what is it? What is it, 8 o'clock? He's got to go to bed?
Yeah. Got to get up early. Just came back, a couple hours ago from the early bird special there with the other senior citizens.
I don't have my tea yet. I should make him wait.
Sleepy time tea?
No, he's going to get me some Arnold Palmer half and half. He hasn't come through yet. I should make him wait. All right, we'll do the announcement.
Hold on, let me give you some music.
All right, we got the drum roll there. If you want
to... All right, roll on. I hit the wrong button. Drum roll, drum roll. Okay, there we go.
All right. December 28th, at a location to be announced, the third, well, actually it would be our first, Blue Shirt Underground Radio viewing party will take place. Now, that is a Wednesday night, I understand that, but it is Christmas week. I'm hoping that a lot of you will be off that week from work or be able to make it. We have not decided on the location yet. It will probably be in the city, Eddie. Probably, I would assume.
Probably in the city. Probably or Jersey. I'm going to go in the city this Wednesday to check out some locations near the garden.
I mean, the Molly Wee was okay if we want to do that again. Whatever. If you guys, I really don't care. So you tell me where to be. And I will be there, my friends.
All right.
The Christmas plans have changed in the Schmiedeberg household. We are traversing east instead of east traversing west. So I will be there. So Wednesday, December 28th, we'll get together. And I was thinking that maybe we could, since the Rangers are in Washington to play the Capitals, maybe we could start the party a little earlier that day or something. Because I know people that have to work won't want to stay until the game's over at 10 o'clock. Then they got to get home. So, maybe we could start it at, I don't know, 4 or 5 or something, and we'll hang. This way we can all hang out and sit and talk before the game starts, because, like I said, I know a lot of people aren't going to be able to stay till the end. And I don't know. We need to talk about if we actually want to do – we've tried this live show twice. They're always a nightmare logistically. We can't hear – we should just get a PA system and do the show in the bar. And if you're not at the bar, you don't hear the show. That's what I think.
That's what I think. I think we should do that.
We'll see if we can find somebody that will rent us a PA, or if somebody knows somebody that has maybe a karaoke system.
I have
a couple of microphones, and we could sit and just do the show for you guys that are at the bar.
Dustin, you better
be there if you're on vacation.
Yeah, and if... We'll throw it up the flagpole on the Facebook. If you want to attend, tell us where you might want it. We try to accommodate everybody. I mean, I know some of you guys are, New Yorkers, and like me, I got to schlep from Long Island to wherever, but that's okay with me. I know some of you rather stay in the New Jersey area. We'll get it together. I think we should have it like a holiday theme. I mean, it's in the middle of the holidays.
It's our live holiday spectacular. I mean, everybody looks forward to our holiday shows.
Yeah, we could coast as Santa Claus, I'm envisioning dressing up as sexy elf.
Yeah,
outfit.
A couple of our female fans dressed like when Mariah Carey did that Christmas video way back when she was still thin and somewhat attractive, a couple of that. Nice.
Is this show getting any more misogynistic?
No.
But I'm just inviting like a good old holiday party with the Rangers, playing the Capitals. Capitals will still be undefeated by that time. So we can finally beat them and Thomas Vokoun. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be like a holiday party. I mean,
we were going to do it at Rockefeller Center outside in front of the tree, but somebody might, I don't know if we can get a TV there.
Yes.
We can get Costa in the Santa Claus outfit skating at the Rockefeller Center rink with the girls as the elves skating around while he uses while he sweet talks them the way how he is with women. He's very smooth.
Oh, that's very smooth. I think it'd be a nice thing. I'd like to bring in the holidays with you guys, and I think it'd be fun. And always seeing you is always great. And I think it's a good thing.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. We'll throw. And I saw one of you guys suggested the I think it was Costa, said something about the Blarney Rock. And Tom is a member of our Facebook group. And the Blarney Rock, the only problem with the Blarney Rock is I had spoken to Tom about doing our last viewing party there when we were at the Molly Wee instead. The only problem with the Blarney Rock is, Tom for the Blarney Rock has said, you know, my place is really small. So, you know, I just don't want us to be, you know, we want to make sure that everybody's got, you know, we want to pack everybody in. But, you know, he said his place might be a little small for one of our parties. So, we had between 75 and 100 people at that one. And I think we were all pretty, we weren't in there like sardines. Everybody had room in there. So I don't know, but I can't say that I remember how big the Blarney Rock is. So if you want to check it, you're going to the city. If you want to check it out, like I said, I don't care. Wherever we are, we'll be together. Way won't let us in more 77, Ann.
Well, Frosty says he isn't coming if it's not in New Jersey.
He's not coming. So what, we got to have two? We'll just go to Frosty's house then at some point.
He did suggest that. So so what's the date on that so I can mark it on my calendar?
That is Wednesday, December 28th.
Okay.
And we'll just got to find a place, and we'll get things rolling around 4 or 5 o'clock, and sit with you guys and have some fun, and we'll try and do a little live thing if we can come up with as Mario called it, a PA Parento system. All right. So mark your calendars, guys. We look forward to seeing all of you and everybody that's on the podcast. We want Chris from the UK there with Spoon on the Moon and Coop, and you guys need to be flying in from London to go to the game. Stout's kind of dark. Eddie and I were at Stout one night. That place is like, it's like a dungeon.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, there's like three different like levels to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stout would be good, I guess.
Too bad Beefsteak Charlie's isn't open anymore.
Yeah. Beefsteak Charlie's. Well, that's Sbarro's, where I used to broadcast Range of Crisis from.
We'll all go to Sbarro's. Michael Scott's favorite pizza place in New York City. All right, you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's go to the phones. Tell you what you guys got to say.
All right. Good evening. 201-248, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's Newman, fellas. How you doing?
Oh, boy.
Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, John.
I'm doing a lot better than this morning, I'll tell you that right now.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know if Eddie had told you, I don't know if you've been on Facebook at all, but I was supposed to be going opening night in my seats I've been going to my seats for the past 21 years. My dad gave them to a client, one of the hoity-toity clients that you talk about. So I've been depressed, and by the way, my seats are now obstructed.
Really?
So yeah, not only that, they put it like between sections 412 and 416, they're going to be obstructed. The Garden Brass informed my dad yesterday, saying that due to the construction and renovation of the garden, quote unquote, your seats are obstructed. If you don't like the seats at opening day, if you want to keep them, we'll give you the seats for $20 each, plus a $10 food voucher.
Hmm. Interesting.
So whoever has the seats is going to be very upset tomorrow.
Wow.
So I put that up. I told you that this morning, Ed.
Yeah, I know you did. I was wondering what kind of obstruction is it? Is it like
I guess because they have the newer seats, the west balcony seats are above me now.
I went to the Ranger game and I was sitting in obstructed view and I can't see. God damn it.
It's almost like going to the Yankee Stadium, seeing that fucking wall in center field.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty of them to do. But let's face it, I'm sorry it happened to you, but I'm not surprised they did it.
Yeah, but they also said that if we don't like the seats, that they'll put us on quote unquote for preferred seating for next year. And we're not the only fans who they have called yesterday.
Could be worse. You could be an Islander fan.
Yeah, it could be worse. I could be going to Hawaii.
Mario just said, with those obstructed view seats, you're not going to be able to see McDonough's 100th point.
It won't happen. It'll happen on the road. Don't worry. It'll happen in Philly on January 2nd.
Oh God.
For some reason, when he said food voucher, I perked up.
Yeah, like $10 in food vouchers is gonna do Newman any good.
The hot dog.
So then these Stacy Katz sees my post, goes on her computer, gets two tickets for me and her for tomorrow.
She's too good for you.
She's a wonderful girlfriend, Jim. You wish you had her.
She's too good for you.
I know she is. She's a wonderful lady. Huh?
What?
You had her?
What? All right. Anything else?
Let's go Rangers.
All right. So you'll be at the game. She's got you non-obstructed view seats.
Yes. Actually, we're in the 300s this time for first day.
Are you bringing your booze? Are you smuggling in your vodka or whatever it is you bring in?
I will be bringing in a bottle of something. I haven't decided what yet. I will be bringing a little baby bottle of maybe Jack. Maybe a little Jimmy. I don't know yet.
All right. Sounds good.
Take care, brother.
Have a good night, fellas. Let's go Rangers. Woo!
Wow.
The very mediocre John Newman.
Yep.
We can't call him the great John Newman.
No, but he's consistently mediocre, which is good. Consistency.
No, he was good tonight. He was short and sweet, and he stuck to, at least he was talking about, he was topical for a change.
And he wasn't trying to, like, be funny, because that's what he really sucked.
Right. He's at his least funny when he's trying to be funny. Rock, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Good.
I love following Newman. It's like
going to karaoke and following the worst singer in the room, the guy that's like really tone deaf, and then you get up there, you sound like Sinatra.
Ain't that the truth? Jim, just so you know, the count is at three now, because with James Reimer and Tim Connolly coming back from injuries tomorrow night, it's already starting where these players see a Ranger jersey and automatically become healthy. Much like Vancouver. So the count is at three, and we're not even a month into the season. So it's amazing that these guys always figure out a way to become healthy when they see the Rangers jersey. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
but,
it's true.
I'm going to the game tomorrow night.
I've been playing good.
I'll tell you.
How many shots are they actually going to play tomorrow? I mean, let's face it.
Well, they weren't definitely not playing Gustafson. I think they played the backup, whoever the other guy they brought up before they play that guy, because the Rangers have always seemed to play well against him. So no matter what they would have done, I don't think he would have played tomorrow regardless. But like I said, I'm going to the game tomorrow night. It's very strange going to a game this late into October. But, I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually a little surprised right now the criticism Callahan's getting from a captaincy perspective. I mean, he hasn't really played well. I mean, he played okay against in L.A., and I guess he played all right in Winnipeg. The whole line's been horrible. And I don't know, and I don't want to – it's too early in the season to, bring upon my doom and gloom aspect, but I get weary when these guys get big contracts, and I'm not saying they're not trying, but, now the expectation and the bar has been risen, and it's not just for Dubinsky and Callahan – it's for Anisimov, it's for Brian Boyle, Sauer, when he gets healthy. All of these guys that now got substantial raises, I just hope they don't become lazy and they have security. Now we can kind of lay off a little bit and take a step backwards. Because let's be honest, some of these guys last season, especially Boyle, Prust, Stefan, there was no guarantee these guys were even making the club at the beginning of the start last year, and they got you, amongst the three of them, over 50 goals. So, these guys, so far, Prust has played well, but we need to get the contributions from everybody like we did last year, and, hopefully, get some scoring. I mean, it seems like everyone's looking at Richards and, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But to me, the expectations for him, it's like, all right, well, he's here, so now we can kind of take a step back, and which shouldn't be the case. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I mean,
well,
I've seen a lot.
I think that factors into it. Could be a factor. Like, listen, Richards and Gabrick are going to carry us, and we're just going to do our roles, maybe. The contract thing, I don't feel that that is the reason that they're playing poorly right now. I think just playing poorly because they're playing poorly. I don't think it's a factor of, well, not, listen, I'm the captain, I got a raise. Stubinsky, I got a raise. I don't think that's factoring into it. You can't say that really after six games. I'm a little concerned when I don't see Callahan going down. He certainly showed it. The Rangers really, in the third period of the Winnipeg game, showed you what they're all about, going down, blocking shots, anything to win, which was great. But I'm a little concerned that I'm not seeing Callahan get involved. But do I think it's going to be a prolonged problem? No. I think these guys will straighten themselves out. But it is essential for these guys to get to that 20-goal mark when it's all said and done, each one of them. And if they don't, the Rangers are going to have a severe problem. As much as the Gabrick goal output will increase, we hope, to 40-plus, it's only going to be 20 more goals than he got last year, and that line needs to score, and they need to dominate with that forecheck, and I think all three of them have gotten off to horrendous starts. You know, if I'm going to criticize another guy, I told this to Jim yesterday, Derek Stepan has to hit the net. He is shooting. He's not hitting the net. I mean, he's taking shots that are like 15. The whole team is, you're right. It's a team-wide issue. They shoot a tremendous amount of pucks wide. But Stepan's had several chances where I thought that he's got to hit the net, especially if he's going to ensure that he doesn't have a sophomore slump this year. You know, I'm very concerned about that. So I don't think so much, going back to your point, I don't think it's a contract issue. I think it's more of they're just not playing well.
I agree with you, and I don't know, maybe the whole thing with Europe, you know, get them into the swing of things and whatnot. And I just think the expectation level has been risen. I think the teams, you know, with Richards being signed, I think, you know, the team not really making a lot of changes to the roster, I think teams are just noticing that if they're going to play, if they want to beat the Rangers, they're going to have to out-hustle them. And like you said, the expectation and the bar has been risen. And they're expecting a lot out of this team this year. And, you know, no Mark Stahl. And Eddie, you know, I agree with you somewhat. I don't know if he'll be out the year. But it's like now we don't hear boo about him. You know, one minute he's going to be in Europe. And next minute we don't hear anything. And, you know, and the Rangers, let's be honest, they're being smart. If, from this perspective, is if they're trying to go out and improve in that area, and they're trying to make a trade, the absolute last thing you need to know is that Mark Stahl is lost for a significant amount of time.
Right.
Because, as you know, and in the past, other teams hold the Rangers up for ransom. For whatever reason, they always try to get more, you know, out of the Rangers when it pertains to making trades.
Except
and
for Bob Gainey.
He's being smart about it. Except for Bob Gainey, yeah. There was actually a good article I read about that trade, about Gomez and that whole fiasco. But, yeah, with the exception of that trade, where he basically gave away everybody. I think from that perspective, they're being smart. And Jim, I agree with you. The first thing I thought of, I'm a Yankee fan, but I think more about 5-6 years ago when they were having all their pitching issues and Aaron Small was pitching for the Yankees and they were bringing in Al Leiter and Hideo Nomo. It's like, how many defensemen can we throw against the wall to see if they can?
Yeah.
You know, I agree with, and that's the first analogy that I thought of was they're bringing in all these guys and let's be honest, they're stopgap players if best. And I knew Jeff Wojcicki was, it's just, well, what could we get for the cheapest price possible without having to sacrifice anything? And, you know, that's what you get. He's put on waivers for a reason. And let's be honest, Montreal has their own defense issues with Markov being hurt and Campoli being hurt and all the other guys. If this guy's being put on waivers for a team that's desperate in need of defensemen, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to look at it from that perspective, too. So, like I said, this is a stopgap. I want to know how long it's going to take or how many games in a row they're going to lose before we start hearing the Nashville rumors between either Ryan Suter or Shea Weber, before we start hearing that. But, you know, they just got to start playing better. And hopefully
Suter, trying to say that, is affordable. He's making like – I was reading an article about him the other day. He's making like $3.5 – I think he's got a $3.5 million contract or something.
Right.
Fit that in.
And Nashville has three guys they need to sign.
Yeah.
He's definitely I haven't seen enough of Ryan Suter to give you a really good analogy, a good aspect about him. But we know what Shea Weber is. I mean, other than Chara, he has probably the second best slap shot in hockey.
He's an all-star.
$7.5 million for a defenseman, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if they can sign him to, you know, a lesser, I don't know. But you're talking about giving up significant prospects.
Well, now let's talk about, you guys have any feeling on this, or do you think it's valid, some of these rumors that are going on, that the Rangers are looking at somebody on Edmonton, and Michael Delzato's name keeps coming up in those rumors. Did Morgan tell me there were some scouts down there? Nugent Hopkins, yeah, we're going to get him.
Well, we're going to try. I think the Rangers just want to save Edmonton that tough decision about sending him back to juniors. So we'll take Nugent Hopkins off their hands. For Eric Christensen, straight up. Done.
Yeah. That guy, Jim Matheson, he was big into the Rangers getting Sheldon Soray last year, too. So I don't know. I don't know if it's the Ranger-Edmonton connection, but I would take what he says with a very small grain of salt. He likes to incorporate the Rangers in a lot of things that involve Edmonton, I've noticed.
Well, I think, there were a couple. I thought it was one of the TSN guys put it out on Twitter last night, too, that the Rangers were one of the teams scouting Edmonton, but I don't know. I don't remember who it was now.
It's got Edmonton or it's got in Vancouver?
Edmonton.
All right, because I read somewhere that they were scouting in Vancouver also.
And then I heard...
I don't know.
And then there's another guy who put out there that Calgary's talking to a few teams about trades, and the Rangers are one of them. So who knows? I said, well, as long as it's not Olli Jokinen.
And a lot of guy, a guy who we all totally, you know, nailed to the cross, Sheldon Soray, who you mentioned before, 9 games with the Dallas Stars, 2 goals and 4 assists, 23 minutes in penalties, you know, for what the Rangers could have gotten for him, maybe he would have been a good fit in retrospect. But, you know, nobody wanted him, and, you know, I hear he's a problem in the dressing room, but let's face it, who is it?
He'd have signed with the Rangers, he'd have got hit by a bus on the way to his press conference. You just know it would have went badly. You just know.
No,
the Rangers, it would have went badly. He would have been walking across Avenue and, oh, man, his head would have gotten crushed like Phil Leotardo.
I have to say, the chat room should collectively boo Wazili, who's the first one to yell tank already.
He's kidding.
Well, they yelled the team in the league. What are they going to do? One of the fourth youngest team in the league.
Playing somebody 3 defensemen that are under 21 or younger in your starting line, in your top 4, you have 3 defensemen who are 21 years of age or 22 years of age and younger. You know, I mean, I don't know. And like I said, I mean, we wouldn't even be talking about Sheldon Soray or Weber or Suter or any of these guys if Mark Stoll was healthy, because he'd be in the lineup, Sal would be in the lineup, we wouldn't see Emminger. You know, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, but we would be complaining the fact that they're not scoring. And, you know, Wojciech Volski, you know, I mean, what can you say? I don't know what to say. I mean, he showed a little bit last year. He's obviously not Tortorella's cup of tea, like a lot of guys like Nick Zhirdev, and, you know, the list can go on and on. And he will not be here. I would say he probably won't be here by January, the middle of January. I think he's going to have a bus ticket to somewhere. I think you're going to get rid of him one way or another.
If you don't show intensity, if you don't show as much intensity as Torts does behind that bench, you'll never be on the Rangers. Everybody's got to be a dynamic, you know, intense little Italian firecracker back there. If they don't look like they're determined every shift like he's determined on every shift, you got it. That's the way it looks. You got to be all intense.
Boppity boopy.
And now it seems like Zuccarello's not even an option to come out because he had a concussion. Him and Ryan Bourque, both of them.
Yeah, that's what I heard about Ryan Bourque, too, as well. And I think this is Ryan Bourque's third.
Third, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's been playing.
Volsky will go to Columbus in the Rick Nash deal.
You love to make these crazy.
Listen,
well,
I don't think Bourque's going to Nashville.
Him and Carter, they have no chemistry. So Columbus may be looking to move Nash.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
So
amen.
I just wanted to ask, in closing, Rock, do you have any remedies for how the Rangers can get this thing back on track?
Shoot the puck from every possible angle. I mean, and try to hit the net. I mean,
so you want no passing? You want them just to shoot when Callahan took that shot that went off the post? I think that wasn't the Winnipeg game. I think he took one of those crazy angle shots from the goal line, and I think it hit the post.
Yeah, and they've scored a few goals like that, and pucks get a bouncing off guys' skates and stuff like that, and just trying to get the puck to the net, you know. And it looks like their power play, for what it was, I don't know. I can't judge it by Winnipeg because they stink, so you really can't judge anything from that. You wouldn't know it by the way they played against the Rangers, but I just attribute that to a long end of a road trip. Hopefully they'll come out tomorrow night with the home crowd, and you know they'll be electric, and you know, they'll put up some goals. I think when they start getting on the roll, I think they'll start scoring more. But, you know, we kind of said that last year. We thought guys would turn it around, and they didn't. But it's only, seven games in? So let's just be optimistic.
That's right.
And, you know, let's just do it. You know, let's go in tomorrow night and just try to get some wins. And what you said about the Rangers always seem to play better against better teams. They always seem to play down against the crap teams, and they always seem to play better against the better teams. So,
just like the Giants.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully a team that's 5-2 will be a good test for us tomorrow night, and we go out there and kick some ass. So
yeah, they're 5-2, but they're still the Leafs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the Rangers played well against them last year, so we'll see.
The fan base will be energized. I think the fan base will be re-energized if we beat the Lefts at home tomorrow.
They need to score the first goal tomorrow night. That's something they definitely should strive for. Is if they get the first goal tomorrow night and then they don't give it up 30 seconds later, the Garden will be behind them, and I think we'll be ready to rock. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm psyched, and I just can't wait for tomorrow night. So. Jim, did you get my email about the season subscriber with the classic ticket thing?
Yes, I did. And if we have time before the end of the show, I'll definitely read it on the air. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, gentlemen, I'll talk to you next week, and hopefully a couple wins under our belt. Talk to you then.
All right, have fun.
Take care.
Later.
Enjoy the game.
Bye. Later.
If the Rangers lose tomorrow night, it'll be more like this.
You are killing me. You keep doing this. Oh, brother. You keep doing this to me. Stop! Stop doing this to me! Stop! Oh!
That's me at home. Stop doing this to me! Stop doing it! Another penalty! Tim Connolly with another goal. Reimer's playing great. Now, are we getting Sam tomorrow? What's going on? Are we getting Sam-ized? What are we getting? Simonized? Samsonized tomorrow?
Well, I would think so for the home opener. I mean,
Oh, he'll be gushing. Oh.
I don't think Sam could miss. Yeah, I mean, what else has he got to do? There's no football tomorrow. There's no baseball. There's no box. I don't think there's any boxing for him to do, or badminton tournament, or celebrity Scrabble, or anything else.
The Golden Gloves aren't on tomorrow. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And speaking of that, Eddie and I were talking about the other night. We're not going to. Well, I mean, you guys that are already on Twitter, you know that Eddie and I are usually on Twitter during the games and kind of making fun of the broadcast or whatever else is going on. In the coming weeks, while the Rangers have this 2-week, maybe we'll set a date. We'll post it in the Facebook group. One of these home games that's coming up, Eddie and I are going to basically stay on Twitter and tweet through the whole game. So as many of you guys as possibly can, we want to get you on Twitter, and we want to use the hashtag Blue Shirt Underground Radio, see if we can get it trending, and you know, we'll just explode a taste explosion all over MSG. I like to tweet questions for Giannone, but they never read them.
Oh yeah, they somehow never read mine either. Yeah, we should try to get us trending. We'll put like a we'll get it up on Facebook that we're going to do it that night, and we'll just see if we can, you know, make an impact in the tweetosphere.
And for those of you that are on Twitter, or if you're going to sign up for Twitter, make sure you follow Eddie is at Ranger Crisis, and I'm BSU Radio Jim. And usually during the game, I'm usually
fatherly juices.
Exactly. I usually tweet all kinds of nonsense about Duguay and Bill Pedo and Sam's hair and whatever else is going on.
What's going on with Duguay?
Oh, David Copperfield.
I know you've been calling him David Copperfield.
A fucking whack dummy is what he is.
I think he's the undead. I think he's got like leathery devil wings that come up and then they go down real quick if you look quick. His face is just like, looks like my ball sack. I mean, I say it's just a leathery mess.
Well, did you see what I posted on Facebook the other night? I said, do you think there's like a giant lump of skin behind his head from being pulled back tight so many times?
And what is he wearing with that clothing? That bohemian look. What is that?
I wouldn't even call that bohemian. It's like he's like a Parisian reject or something. You know, it's like he went into some store in Paris and just bought off the clearance rack.
What are you doing in this closet?
Nice.
We just blew people's ears out with that one. I apologize.
That's all right.
But it's a freak show. I think, who was it? Was it Mario that said the other day? They got Danico looks like he's a villain from a B horror movie out there with his fucking bald head. Troutwig, and Billy Jaffe with those caterpillar eyebrows. What is going on with look at Jim on video. He's doing the Billy Jaffe eyebrows right now for you. you know what? I don't mind Pedo. I don't know why.
Oh, he's terrible.
I don't mind him.
What is it? What do they
why
call that stupid thing
everybody?
He does? Yes, pretty much. I don't know. I don't hate Sam. I love Sam. I mean, he's just comical, you know? Sam's like a member of the family at this point. Like I said, I love Sam. I think he's his best years are behind him, but I love him. I will always love him. But any man that wears a dead pelt on his head, he is open. He is open season. It is open season.
You like Sam Rose?
Terrible. What is that 150 thing he does in between periods?
He shows you highlights of the other game. That's more than they ever used to do. They didn't even acknowledge the other league was going on.
He's just a bonehead. He's an idiot.
I like him. I like it because he used to do NHL Tonight on ESPN2 with Melrose. I don't mind Pito.
Fine.
So, all right, we can have our first agreement, okay? I mean, it's been 2 years. We can. You like Sam Rosen? You like Sam Rosen with play-by-play like this?
And the deflection and score! Score!
I didn't say I like his play-by-play, and I said his best years are behind him, but I just like Sam. I mean, you know, he's Sam. He's, I don't know, he's like the old guy that sits down on the corner all the time, and you always see him, and, you know, he's just comical.
Horrible.
Anything's better than...
Score! Score!
We deserve better than all those schmucks.
Ow!
I like that one. We've got a lot of phone calls. Let's get to them.
Yeah, let's get to the phones. All right. 914-255. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Frank. Frankie C.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
I'm down in Fort Myers.
Oh.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
How are you, Frank?
I'm doing T.T. Keene. I have a question. There's a defenseman that used to be a number one draft choice of, I think, Boston, Shane Morrison. He was put on waivers a couple weeks ago. Is there any issue with him that preclude him from being picked up by the, or at least tried to be picked up by the Rangers?
Let's see.
Are you familiar with the name up. Shane Morrison?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the name.
He's a big left-handed defenseman. He was a number one draft choice.
Yeah, he's 6'4". He's playing with Buffalo's minor leagues right now.
You look at his plus minus and you look at his games played, he seems to be a pretty decent guy.
Yeah, I mean, he played a good amount of time with the Sabres last year. He's a defensive defenseman. He's physical. I don't know why, you know, I don't know what his contract situation is, so I can't tell you why the Rangers haven't made a play for him. I mean, they basically have sent out an emergency flare to every part of the National Hockey League trying to get somebody. But what do you like about Shane Morrison? Let me ask you that.
Mean me?
Yeah. What?
Okay, I think he played for Washington. He might have played for Boston. Always seemed to be a decent, fairly responsible left-side defenseman. And the Rangers seem to have a number of guys that are right-side defensemen. And, he puts up some points. This other guy they're looking at, the Swedish guy, he seems to be an older clone of Sanguinetti, and I hope they don't sign him. The Swedish guy that they've been looking at the last couple
Anton
of days.
Anton Strålman, is that the guy you're talking about?
Yeah, we didn't like Sanguinetti, so why are we going to go get this guy for? He's 6'1", 180. He's a skinnier version of Gilroy. I mean, you know, like...
Right.
Am I missing something?
Well, maybe their thinking is that they really haven't settled on that power play back line yet. They're still messing with it. I mean, Richards has been so valuable on the faceoffs. It's almost like when the Rangers do get a power play deep, you don't really want to see him on the back line. And even when Richards is back there, they've been alternating guys. I don't think Delzato has done anything back there. They've even put Girardi there. Maybe they're looking for a guy with Strawman's playmaking ability. He's been able to put up, he's a little bit of a playmaker. Maybe get his offense on the power play.
I don't think we want to give it back into those shorthanded goal situations where we start giving up shorthanded goals like once in the game. And I think that's what he brings to the table. I think what has happened with Delzato is that Tortorella has like totally changed his game to where he's trying to redefine this guy as a defensive defenseman when he's an offensive defenseman. And he's been a plus four this year, high on the Rangers. But I really don't see him as that type of player. But Delzato's doing whatever he's got to do to survive with Tortorella. And Delzato actually played like 25 minutes in the last game.
I totally agree with you on that point. I think he is trying to redefine Michael Delzato's game.
But he's only 5'11", 190.
Right. I know. It's tough. You know, Tortorella is not a guy who likes guys who think offense first, and especially if you're a defenseman. I don't know where the Michael Del Zorro saga is going to end.
He's only nine months older than Erickson. I mean, Erickson is like a clone of Malik. He's a hooking machine.
Wait a minute. I'm going to have to stop you there.
And he don't touch anybody.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. This is a guy who's played 6 games in the NHL, a handful of preseason games. That part of his game is a youngster. He's going to develop. He looks very poised out there. You got to admit that. I mean,
in the Swedish Elite League, he had like 60 minutes in hooking penalties, and that's about 2 years worth of penalties for Girardi, who also plays the body and also fights. I mean, Girardi has never had a 60-minute penalty season. He gets that like in 2 seasons.
Frank, let me tell you something, Frank. Yeah, I love you already. You're very passionate. You know what you're talking about.
I know,
but you love to
compare from Blue Chip Banter.
Okay. Frankie, you love to compare these guys to guys that, I mean, absolutely stink. I mean, you went from Bobby Sanguinetti and Marek Milik. Listen, give Erickson time. If anybody's going to get him out of penalty trouble, it's going to be Tortorella, because he won't be playing if he starts getting a lot of penalties. He'll learn to take the body. I agree with you. I think Erickson, that's the part of his game that's missing. He's not all that strong on the boards, but he's very poised.
Just like his father. His father, Erickson, was like 6 foot, 190, and he ended up with back problems because they kept on running him into the boards. You know, and the Toronto GM at the time said that guys like Henderson and like Erickson, you can give a dozen eggs. They go into the corner and they come out with it, not a single egg, you know, shell broken, you know. And that was...
I think the only reason Jan Erickson had back problems is he was sweeping the puck out of the net after Mario Lemieux got 5 goals against him. Don't jump the gun. Let's see what happens, Frankie. I don't want to start making evaluations 6 games into the season about rookies, okay? That's all I'm saying.
I'm still sore because the Rangers passed on Carlson in the draft, and I really wanted him to get him, and Washington ended up stealing him, you know?
John Carlson, who got the winning goal in the World Junior Championships for the United States.
But he's 6'2", 210 pounds. I mean, like...
When I think of John Carlson, Frank, let's be fair. I mean, he's not very physical. He's a big guy, but he's not very physical. So I like John Carlson too. Frank, you're on the money with a lot of things. I'm just calm down. Just relax. Wait to see how it plays out, and then you call back and go, listen, Eddie, I was right, you were wrong. That's what you do.
But I've been around for a while. I've been back with Dean Prentice and Cam Henry and those guys.
Camille Henry and Dean Prentice, those are some names from the
I was at Rye Playland when the Rangers used to play. They used to have their practices there. And I used to remember Duguay on the second tier coming by with his lambskin jacket and his cowboy hat. And I was a kid and popcorn down on the head of Shiro. And Shiro was, like, I guess drunk or something half the time he was coaching the Rangers. And he would just, like, fall asleep in the booth, you know, while the Rangers
Freddy
were playing.
The Fog.
What?
Yes. I said Freddy the Fog. I mean, that's what his nickname was. He was always in a fog.
I knew what they meant by that when they traded for Cam Connor. And he said, we've been looking for years for a left-handed physical defenseman. And he really meets everything we're looking for on left defense. And I'm saying, but he's a left wing.
I know, he's a forward.
he was a left wing from Montreal. He was injury-prone, left wing, tough guy. But Shiro kept on insisting he was a left defenseman. That's when I got the idea he was Freddy the Fog.
Yes, you were right there. You're definitely right there. It's been corroborated by Emil Francis, who we had on the show. Said,
Emil Francis.
All right. I don't want to get into Emil Francis rip, but Emil said that Fred used to forget where he parked his car after a night of drinking. They have to go spend the day looking for his car. So,
possible.
Yes, it's true. If Emil Francis told me, it's true. I just told Emil, you traded away Jean Rattel, and I'll never forgive you.
And Brady Park.
And Brady Park.
I also, this thing with Ryan Bourque, I mean, I don't understand him. I know he's fast and he has good bloodlines, but he's a midget and he's got concussions up the kazoo. What are we doing with this guy?
Let me tell you, say, Frankie, I sum you up as you're an old school fan who likes his players big, tough, hombres. You don't like small guys. I am with
I
you on that.
Callahan. Callahan's only 180 pounds.
Right.
Right.
What do you think about? Ryan Bourque. He's a good two-way player. He's Callahan type of anything. He's a prototypical Callahan type guy.
But he's
already had
three concussions.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. You got me on that one.
Yeah.
That's
he's 21 years old or 20 years old. He's already had his third.
What do you think about Matt Zuccarello, Frankie?
He's too small. He's 5'7". I mean, he tries to play a physical game, but he's not fast. I mean, he has a lot of hockey skills, but I don't know how it translates to the NHL because he's not like a top first or second line player. He's got to play at the third line, and I don't know if he's a fit for the Rangers, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Well, we've said it many times.
Zuccarello has a good skill set, but I just don't know how it translates for a Tortorella-coached team. You know? I don't know how it works that way.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. So,
I see how Belzano is trying to reinvent himself, just trying to keep Tortorella happy.
Do we really want Delgado to play a defensive game? I don't know if Delgado could be able to
play. Okay,
the Wizard of Oz now. I was saying that you don't like the small guys from the Lollipop Guild.
Listen, I was a big time Domi fan. He was only 5'9". You know?
That's fair. Well, Frankie, we must move on. We must succeed where others have failed. I thank you for your phone call. And next time, no Marek Malik or don't bring those names. Scar me.
Malik was a good defensive defenseman, but he hooked a lot.
Talk to you next time, Frankie.
Take care.
Take care,
Frank. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody.
Lord.
All right, moving on. Stacy, what's going on?
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
It's very nice of you. Very nice of you to take Newman to the game tomorrow night. That was very nice of you.
Well, you should have heard him on the phone this morning. He was.
Is he crying? Was he crying?
I wouldn't say crying. He was disappointed. Very
he was
disappointed.
Pouting. Was he sulking?
He was we'll go with that.
Tomorrow night, Stacy. I sure wish I had money to go to the game tomorrow night, Stacy. I don't want to sit in the seats where I can't see the ice, Stacy.
you just sounded like what's his face from Family Guy.
Well, I asked my mom to buy me tickets, but she wouldn't do it, Stacy.
No, he was very upset. You know, he's been going since he was little, and money was no object, even though it should be, but it's all right. I don't mind. So he'll be happy. Hopefully he'll see McDonough get 100.
You're too nice to him.
He'll be happy.
You're too good to him.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry. If he sees McDonough get his 100, it'll be worth the money.
Please. You'll go broke taking him to games waiting for him to score that 100th point. Trust me.
Why I'm not paying. This is the one game I'm paying for.
Why don't you just pay me the $100 he'll owe me, and then we'll just call it all over with, and you can get off this silliness with him.
That's all right. It's going to make him happy, so that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Why are you so interested in making him happy? I mean, the guy works
you
like...
You told me to call to talk about hockey,
talk about hockey. Last time I saw you, Stacey, you didn't know what the Rangers were wearing white.
He got to be sad about it.
I didn't know the Rangers were wearing white. I just got my sports mixed up for a minute there. I know what I was doing.
Okay.
I had a little too much holy water. Let's put it that way. We missed you, Jim, and I'm very excited that you're going to be here in December. That made my night.
Good. Don't bring Newman. Just come by yourself.
Can you just give me a ride? He'll bring me to the city, and then we'll shoo him off somewhere. How about that?
That's fine. That is.
Goodness. Now, Eddie, it was great seeing you the other couple weeks ago.
Very, very good. Did I disturb you when me and Costa embraced after two goals?
No, I wouldn't say that much. It wasn't that when I was getting a headache. I was getting a headache at one point. That might have been during that fiasco.
What happened with John?
What?
There was at one point that you at the party you were like, I can't believe they're doing this, and you ran away with your iPhone. What was
that
all about?
I don't have an iPhone.
BlackBerry, whatever those things are.
I don't have one of those either. A droid?
Yeah.
I have a droid. No, I just, hockey is really John's thing, and, you know, not that I dislike hockey, but, you know, this is his thing. It's his shtick, so.
Why do you want me out with it? Seriously, I mean, I know John probably said call.
I've been talking to Jim, and Jim had said, will you call our show again? And I promised him that I would. So here we are.
Okay.
But you said you'd talk hockey, and so far the only hockey you've talked is Newman.
Okay, fine. Then here's a question. Are you ready?
Sure.
I have a question. Once Sauer comes back from his injury, who's going to replace him?
You mean who's he going to replace?
Right. That's what I mean.
Wawrinka.
Really? That's what you think?
No, that was official today. Sauer is playing tomorrow night and Wawrinka's out.
So too. You? Who said it? They said it today. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If that's what you say, I believe you.
You have no reason not to.
Of course I don't, because you're Jim Schmiederberger.
Got that right.
And you will be in New York on December 28th with Belvon.
That's right. That's right. With my
Schmiederberger to go.
with my
and Eddie Geich. It can't get any better.
Eddie Geich.
Get much better.
I'm going to be charging people for the two tickets to the gun show.
Nice.
Oh, dear. Can I get him for free? I'm going to get him for free, though. I think I should get him for free.
All right, Stacey.
Have a good night, gentlemen.
All right, I got to boot some spammers out of the chat room, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, sounds good. Have a good night, guys.
Take care.
All right, bye.
I want to say, bye-bye. I want to say that the chat room is hopping today, and I will agree that I may have jumped the gun a little bit on Steve Emminger. I think he's played fairly decent. But for Jeff Wawrinka, there's only one thing can happen when Michael Sauer. And we say this to Jeff Wawrinka. I guess that doesn't cue up. Cue up, you son of a bitch at Block Talk Radio. Oh, son of a bitch.
Bye-bye.
Just took that long enough. Let's break for a commercial.
All right.
Think about that.
And I'll tell you what. Play the commercial, and then you take our next call.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We'll be right back right after this.
Blue Shirt Underground Radio fans, the 2011-2012 2012 season of Ranger Hockey is upon us, and we'd like to unveil the inaugural Blue Shirt Underground Radio T-shirt. This magnificent and wondrous royal blue T-shirt has print on both the front and the back. How's that for state-of-the-art? On the front of the shirt, it identifies you as a listener of the most subversive Ranger broadcast out there, Blue Shirt Underground Radio. And on the back of the shirt, it explains proudly, "Can you hear us?" This must-have shirt is available in all men's sizes and costs only $15. $17 will get you the shirt shipped to anywhere in North America. How's that for a fucking deal? If you'd like to take a gander at what the shirt looks like before you buy it, go to BlueShirtUnderground.com. If you want to pay by PayPal, there's a way to do it right there on the page. The best way to get this transaction of a lifetime started is email. Simply email Eddie@RangerCrisis.com, and he'll help you get the ball rolling in acquiring this exclusive in-demand item. Show the entire hockey world that you're part of an informative, no-nonsense, uncensored radio program. Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the one true voice of the Rangers fan.
And if you've just joined us and are watching the camera, I've been playing with dolls for everybody. I had my Henrik Lundqvist McFarlane, and now my Messier with the cup, wearing the hat. Messier goes out to Mess and Gress, who's in the chat room.
And I've got a doll on my lap.
That's right. Your daughter, who's one of the coolest people that I have ever met. The lovely and talented Megan.
Eddie says hello.
Hello.
Say, let's go, Rangers.
Let's go.
All right, that's enough for you. All right.
Okay.
Next.
You want me to handle the phone call?
Yeah,
or
take
are you
the next phone call. Take the next phone
call. Area code 612.
That's Chandler.
Chandler, you're on the broadcast with Eddie and Jim on Blue Shirt Underground. How are you doing, Chandler?
Hey, guys. How's everything going? How you guys been?
Hey, Chandler. Welcome back.
Yeah, I had to run over a couple of ladies to make it home in time tonight to catch the show. Missed it for a while.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, in the last week after you were thinking about, or have you moved back to the East Coast?
Yeah, I've been back in New York since June, man. It's just my work schedule has been crazy, so I really haven't been able to keep up with the show because I'm getting in 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night sometimes. So.
Okay, now, Chandler, I remember you very well. I remember you were very concerned about the Brad Richards signing. What do you think so far?
Okay, this is what happened. Somebody impersonated me and said they didn't want Richards. No, I would say I was wrong. No, I was dead wrong, man. That was actually a really good sign, and I'm glad I was wrong. I am. Richards has made Gavrik look so good, it's not even funny. The jump Gavrik's had, just the way they've been playing is great. Well, as far as those two, I mean, you know, the team is what it is right now. I'm not a fan of Torts. So,
right, yes.
You know,
well, not many people are right now.
I personally, you know, and I've said this before, I mean, for 3 years since he's been in, we haven't been able to hit the net. The guys are scared to make any sort of mistake because they know they're going to get nailed to the bench. You know what I mean? What was that the other night? And when? How do you bench the guy who's playing the hardest and he doesn't play the entire third period, but yet you've got nobody that's shooting the puck? Are you kidding me? Gavrik was the best forward on the team in that game, and he benched him for what?
I don't know. There was no reason ever given. There really shouldn't be any. It's mystifying to him. I had just written like something about he would never bench Gabbert or Richards, you know, for fear of maybe some ramifications coming down from Sather because they are being played. In the next game, he does.
Yeah, but if Gabbert had been playing badly, sure. But
right.
Gavrik has been the best player for 7 games. He's been the best player on the team for 7 games. Barna, he has been the best. Well, him and McDonough have been the two best players for 7 games. Every game, those two guys are two guys who stood out. So what are you benching him for? For what? What point are you trying to prove at this point? What are you trying to prove? He's changing lines every 2 seconds. You start Walsh go from the fourth line, I'm moving to the first line. I mean, he kept Eric Christensen on the team. And, you know, regardless of the whole show and everything, how in the hell is Eric Christensen on this team? You're going to tell me that he couldn't find a bag of sand that was better than Eric Christensen?
Well, exactly. And to speak to Tortorella again, you know, why he sometimes is hypocritical and says things. When he says, well, there's simply better players than Sean on this team now, it's certainly not the case. He sent Zuccarello down after 2 games. Eric Christensen is certainly not better than Sean Avery. I'm not a big proponent of Sean Avery either, but it seems a little disingenuous not genuine that he'll say something like that when we know as Ranger fans there probably are better options than the guys who stayed.
And, yeah, I just, like I said, I don't get it. I think that a lot of the guys are afraid. I mean, you look at them, they're thinking on every play. You can't think and play at the same time. You can't. You either just play or you think. You can't do both. And, you know, anybody's played any sport, regardless of the sport, knows if you spend all your time thinking, you can't play. You don't play well. You don't play well. And these guys were all thinking, oh, I hope I don't make a mistake. He's going to miss me. I hope I don't make a mistake. He's going to miss me. So, you know, I like the fact that we got the points. I think we're going to do well. You know me, I'm going to stay positive until the season's over, and then I'm still say we're going to win. So, you know, that's just where I'm at with it. And can we just please give these defensemen more than a half a season? You remember a couple of years ago, everybody said Girardi was a bum? Where would we be without Girardi right now? A year before that, Stahl was a bum. Where would not now? And for Stahl, I am so afraid that this is going to be Jeff Bookaboom all over again.
You're definitely not the first Ranger fan to say that, to make that reference.
It reminds me of the same thing. Bookaboom, they said, okay, he's got a concussion. Yeah, he'll be back. And then we heard nothing, and we heard nothing, and we heard nothing. One day he was just gone. And then somebody in the chat room said the Thanksgiving dinner is going to be great at the Stahl's house. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that damn Thanksgiving dinner. You kidding me? So, how's it going?
Yeah. I mean, you know? I definitely agree with you there. I mean, you took it. And the thing with Stahl, and even with Bookaboom, I mean, Bookaboom was a tough loss, but here's Stahl really coming into his own as an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the prime of his career now. And hopefully it won't end this way. But if it does end this way, it's going to be another major blow to this franchise, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have enough depth over time to withstand the loss. I mean, but it's going to take some time for some of these guys to grow if we don't give up on them and trade them all away because, you know, Tortorella doesn't like this guy and he falls out of love with that guy. Now, this guy, he doesn't like his haircut and this guy is smiling up. Who the hell knows why Tortorella doesn't like anybody these days? I mean, you know, you basically, you know, you could do anything and Tortorella, now he hates you, now he wants you off the team. I mean, you know, he kept Wolski, then he takes shots at Wolski. Well, if you don't like the guy, why'd you keep him? I don't get it. I think the team is going to succeed in spite of him, not because of him. I've said that last season. I'll say it again. I think this team will succeed in spite of the coach and not because of the coach. And until we get a coach that wants to utilize the players to the best of their ability. In other words, a leader puts his people in position to succeed. He doesn't say, you need to succeed doing it the way I say to do it. He looks at their talent and he says, this is your best bet. This is what you do best. I'm going to put you in this position. Tortorella doesn't do that. He hasn't done it, and he's not going to do it.
I agree with you. And when things don't go right for the Rangers, these things get magnified even more. And I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, he evaluates players shift to shift during a game. You can't do that.
No.
You cannot start changing things just because a guy had 2 bad shifts and now he's on the fourth line. The game's got to progress.
you know, and, you know, different situations dictate on how a guy's playing. Rangers are killing a lot of power plays. That means certain players are not going to be playing. You know, it seems like he's quick to judge, and he makes up his mind way too quickly, and he never lets the player evolve and what he's going to evolve. It's almost like Torts has a little box he puts you in, and that's it. You vary from that box, you're on his wrong side.
There are two coaches that I look at, Al Harbor and Scotty Bowman. And, you know, years after they were done coaching, I saw interviews with both of them. And one of the things both of them said, Scotty Bowman said that one of the things that about his coaching style that he wished he had been able to change was he tried to make players fit into his system instead of adapting his system. And Al Harbor always said he took players and he just tried to make his system fit the players. And both of those guys won a whole lot of games. Now, if guys who won all those games can both say the same thing, listen, I needed to make my system fit my players so I could be successful, why can't Tortorella do that? And not for nothing, Scotty Bowman and Al Harbor, you know, that those two pretty good coaches. I mean, I hate the Islanders, he was a damn good coach.
Right. Oh, so, no, there's no doubt about it. Al Harbor was a good coach, no doubt about it. And you're right. It's funny because I always, when I think about this and John Tortorella, I did an interview with Ulf Nielsen, I guess about a year and a half ago, and Ulf said, you can't coach through fear. You can't coach like that because players are just afraid to make a mistake out there. And they never will reach their full potential.
The
Rangers are afraid that they're going to, you know, that they are going to do right. But I will say, Tortorella does have some pluses. I mean, the Rangers do... He gets them fired up to where they are gamers, and maybe that's just the players. Who knows? Maybe they just have the right chemistry. The Rangers do not give up, but certainly they the first six games, they don't look like an organized team out there. Offensively, it's been bad.
It was a long trip. You know, it was a long trip. They've been away from home. I'll give them every benefit of the doubt. I think the team is going to do well this year. I think we're going to win 6-1. On Thursday, you know, that's my score, 6-1. 6-1 Rangers. You know, we're just going to blow the Leafs out. We're going to blow the Leafs off, you know.
I like
but,
that.
I'm telling you, we're going to blow the doors off. But, you know, hopefully, he'll just have some patience and the team will get better.
Okay. Well, I think that's what's going to happen, and I think we'll right this ship. We're going to have streaks like this, and things will get better. We're not that bad, and we're never as good as we think.
Exactly.
So, Chandler, I'm glad we have you back in the region, and I'm glad you called in tonight.
Chandler, I don't know if you heard, December 28th, we're going to do a viewing party in the city. We hope to see you there.
Oh, yes, the day after my birthday. That's my birthday present to me.
Perfect.
Oh,
there
wow.
You go. All right, keep listening. We'll have more details as we get closer.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good night.
Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bro. All right. That was Chandler. Let's get. We got a lot more phone calls to get to. So, Robbie, what's going on?
How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Doing good.
Hey, Robbie. What's going on? Long time no talk.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing good though. What do we think so far this season? I haven't spoken to you guys in a while.
We're struggling.
But it could be worse.
Yeah.
It could be worse. That is true. I find it very. If I was the Jets dominated play. I remember that play in the third period where they were just firing shots and beer on left and right, and then they just came up with a breakaway, and it was just they get a power play out of that. The Rangers are lucky that they got to the game on Monday night, and they're gonna have to play a lot better on Thursday to win. And they transformed Madison Square Garden. So.
Now, will you be watching the home opener? Will you be in your Ranger uniform?
Of course. I already have my 94 hat and my Gabbert jersey all set up to go to school tomorrow.
All right. That's what I like to hear.
Yes.
That's a boy.
Now, do you guys think I'm not like an actual fan?
No.
No, we do. We just think you don't participate in the chat. You don't take part in the Facebook group. Sometimes I think you just like to get on. You just like to get on here and talk sports, and you know you.
No,
you
make
nothing wrong with that.
Listen. I look.
We just like to see you participate in everything, you know.
Yes. All right. For example, that reminds me, December 28th. I will most likely be there. Obviously, it's October, but.
What's that?
Yeah, but I think Jim, he's been to a viewing party. I think Robbie's participated. I think the problem with is it, Robbie, when you call, a lot of times you want to talk about the Knicks. Oh, wait a minute. There's no basketball anymore.
You know, how happy must you guys be?
I am ecstatic. I'm ecstatic that those idiots want more money. And I'm talking about the players. And, but too bad it didn't ruin college basketball. Then I would be totally stoked.
Yeah.
But when you said Jets before and you were talking about the Winnipeg, I thought you were talking about the New York Jets, and I saw Jim ready to get that boom thing.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, I was talking about the Winnipeg Jets, even though I do love the New York Jets.
I know
Jets.
You are a Jets supporter, but you have no excuse not to watch any Ranger games this week because the Jets are on a bye week. There's no basketball, so it's Rangers, Rangers, Rangers.
Yes, and my beloved baseball team did not make the playoffs for the fifth straight season.
That's it.
This
was all I could stand. I can't stand no more. He had to go there. He had to push it.
He had to.
He had to push it.
9121,
you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this? Hello? 917. Going once, going twice.
Hey.
We're running out
of
exactly. We're running out of time. Sorry. All right, so we got a little less than 20 minutes to go. Really quick before we... I'm going to bring Mandar and James in to help us finish the show up. I want to say hello to Justin Fried, who is also a member of the Arizona Rangers Ranger fan contingent out here with me and Keith McElroy and Nick Tertilli. I found Justin on Twitter the other night and started tweeting back and forth, and he's out here in the valley with me. Finally, we're enjoying some nice weather, so I want to say hello to him. He is a first-time listener. And where is he? Hi. Garts Point, who has been following us on Twitter for a while now, has finally come in and joined us. We're glad both of you guys are here along with everybody else. And we hope you'll come back and join us in weeks to come. I think we'll be back next Wednesday. I don't think the Rangers have a game next Wednesday, so we should be on again Wednesday night next week. So if your lips are wet and you're ready to go, hold on. Mandar. Mandar and James, going to bring them both in to finish out the last 15 minutes.
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, that Pinocchio.
Yeah.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
So if your lips are wet and you're ready to go, hold on. I've been working on my Paulie D.
Pretty good. So,
Mandar and James, welcome to the program. How are you guys?
All right, man. What's going on?
Evening, gentlemen.
Evening.
Mandar is feeling under the weather, so I'll go to James first. James, have you watched any of these late night games?
I was able to catch little bits and pieces of it, man.
And did the word disgusting come to your mind?
Every shot that misses a net, you know, it's like and those three shot periods, man. It's just like, what the hell are these guys doing, man? I don't know.
I mean, let's bring it down to street level, as Guy says. How did you get three shots on net in a period of hockey? And an eight, like halfway through. How is that possible? You really got to be not trying.
Yeah, I was going to say that, or you got to suck real bad, man. I mean,
I don't know what. I mean, these games are brutal to watch. I mean, they are. I mean, it's terrible.
It is. You know, games I hate the worst are the parade to the penalty box on them phantom calls. I can't stand them. You know?
Stan Fitchler's here.
yes. The penalties have been a problem. It seemed to clear up a little against Winnipeg, but then I was watching the – that was the Winnipeg game. That's when Brian Little had more shots than the Rangers' team did halfway through the game. Randall had 5 shots on net, and he was, like, tied with the Rangers. I'm like, oh. Well, this Brian Little is great, man. So, I don't know. You caught bit in pieces. The Mandar is a little bit banged up tonight, but Mandar, you have any solutions for me? What can I look forward to?
The voice of reason is coming on now.
Again, just remember, it's not the quantity, it's the quality of the shots.
Yeah, those 3 quality shots were good.
Yeah.
You can't expect when you have your entire second line, which you actually count on as much as you do for those guys. They get 18, 19 minutes a night, including penalty killing and power play time. If they're not going to be on, you get what you see here. It's all it's all on the second line right now to me. That line has been abysmal. Now, I've tried my best to give Torts the benefit of the doubt, thinking if I was a coach, would I be that impatient? But again, you've got to develop some sort of chemistry. You never had a chance to do it on the trip because even in the preseason, you were putting different guys in the lineup on a big ice surface. They had, what, 1 or 2 preseason games, their last couple, that they were actually able to get their set lineup in there for the forward lines? And even that, you know, changes from shift to shift. It's on him. He's got no solution. So his solution is, shifting deck chairs on a Titanic. It makes no sense.
And he does it too quick, too. He doesn't, like Eddie was saying before, he doesn't give it much time. He'll give it a couple of shifts, and he's already starting to change the lines around. I mean, give it some time.
By the way, did you hear the excuse that he gave for only playing Gabrick 3 minutes in the third period? He wasn't benching him. It was that the Rangers were pinned in their own zone most of the time. He wanted defensive forwards out there. Isn't that nice?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That's our leader. That's the guy with the answers. You know, the Brad Richards.
Where is that quote? Because if that's an actual quote, I may have a 30-minute show to do tomorrow just on that quote.
That is an actual quote. I don't know if there's an audio clip of it, but he did say that.
I mean, if that's not the definition of play to lose, play not to lose,
well,
then there's nothing.
That's his Tony La Russa excuse. Okay?
I mean, that's absurd.
Exactly.
It's just absurd.
Well, that shows how his management is. Okay, the power play is not working. So you know what? He finally decided to put maybe a bigger body in front. He tried being a little bit aggressive out there on the front. He tried putting Boyle out there. Worked a little bit better. You go with what works. I mean, how much more are you going to realize that maybe for the Rangers, Richards isn't the answer at the point? Maybe he was the answer for the Stars and the Lightning, but maybe for the Rangers, he's best down low, especially on a 5-on-3. Having him up on the point does nothing. What are you going to set up there? A shot?
It's just insanity.
From the side. That's what you're going to set up. Shots, you're going to set up bad angle shots there. This guy should be playmaking.
Do you want to hear the quote real quick, Eddie?
Yeah, get me all crazy. I want to get crazy before we leave.
Well,
I want to have no sleep tonight.
Larry Brooks had it. John Tortorella did not bench Marion Gabrick in the third period of Monday's 2-1 victory in Winnipeg that allowed the Blue Shirts to complete their magical mystery tour with a 3-1 record in Canada and a 3-2-2 record overall. The truth, as explained by the Rangers coach when queried well after the match had ended, is that Gabrick played only 3:03 on 4 shifts in the third period because the Rangers spent so much time hemmed in their own end. That limited the opportunity to get the sniper ice because it was necessary to allot more time to checking oriented players. It was not a benching, Tortorella said. Gabby has probably been our most consistent forward.
There you go.
What a moron.
What you want there is a defensive.
The only guy who can get the puck out of the zone and do something on the other end of the rink, they're benching.
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
So basically they were killing a penalty for the last 10 minutes.
All he wants to do is chip the puck out of the zone and let them come back in waves. You know,
prevent offense, right?
Well, that's the safest death route, you know.
Yeah, safe. The sarcasm is just dripping off your tongue.
It's just stupid by now. And, you know, you don't want to use travel as an excuse. Look,
somehow they managed to come out 3-2-2, and they haven't seen their best game yet. All right, so I think that you take that as a positive. You're like, all right, you got as many points as you did. There was only two games out of the first seven you didn't get any points on, and that's all on the road. If that happened on any other seven-game road trip, any other point during the year, you'd sign up for that in a hurry.
Hey,
now, of course, right, and it's the beginning of the year. So now, you know, everybody's panicking about what will happen. I can't, for the life of me, believe that that second line is going to play as poorly as they have. You know, about Callahan getting a power play goal, he banked it in off a skate. You know, his first goal was one of those impossible angle shots. You know, it's not that he's doing anything like he did last year. Yeah, he blocks a shot on a power play. But where's the deep forecheck? Where's that cycle down low? Dubinsky is invisible in the corner. And Anisimov has now become the latest, I can't make a mistake, otherwise I'm banished to the seventh line.
Mandar, I have one question.
Yeah?
What if they have played their best game?
I refuse to believe that.
Turn it off.
There's definitely a language barrier here.
I refuse. And I'll tell you what, that defense has been admirable. And I'm sorry, I know we were joking about Frank. It's ridiculous. The defense has played admirable considering a couple things, the injuries and who's there. I mean, a lot of it has to do with Lundqvist. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Even Baran had played a great game too. But the thing that Lundqvist has been doing a lot better isn't just the first shots. He's also getting the second shots. And last year, that was the difference. The defense was able to clear out. He might make that one great save, but there was rarely a sequence of two or three that come in a row. And that's what this defense is giving up. And we've been lucky that Hank's been able to be there for that. Now, you put Sauer back in the lineup tomorrow. Hopefully that helps it out a bit. And, of course, our vaunted offensive defenseman who's there, you know, that everybody wants, that's only 21. He's really come leaps and bounds. I can't believe the offensive charges that he leads up the ice, you know, and keeps that puck in the zone and makes the power play what it is. Piece of shit.
He has it out for Michael Delzato like none other. See, no positives in his play? Any upside from last year?
No. I would love to. Tell me every single winger that comes down his side doesn't salivate seeing him on a one-on-one situation. How many times does he have to be skated around? Either that or he's just ready to drop to his knees to lay down the ice to take a passway. Meanwhile, while he's sliding away from them, Jerome McGinley comes in and laughs at him and puts it in.
That was pretty bad.
Abysmal.
And you see the difference, too, in like a guy like Delzato and a guy who's a great player. What a good player, like Girardi. Remember when Piarvi went around, took the inside route on Girardi, and then Girardi went to the outside?
Mm-hmm.
He knew he was going to get beat, but then he made the play outside. But
exactly. And look, you don't got to put the guy through the boards. You just got to be in the way. And he's not. I mean, he looks totally confused when a forward comes bearing down.
Probably juices.
And if you can't stop a forward one-on-one, then you really shouldn't be on the back line. Even freaking Rayo used to at least get in the way. He wasn't the best and he wasn't the biggest, but the guy used to get in the way. I mean, I didn't.
Yeah, and Rayo, he actually provided offense.
Oh,
you know.
Of course. I mean, I don't know what this guy is.
I know nothing. Nothing.
I want to see him succeed. I really do, because that means the Rangers will be better. But I just don't see the talent that people want to see in him. And that's what I think. They want to see. They heard he scored a bunch of points. So did Brian Fogarty, you know, years ago in the, you know, one of those games.
Well, I agree with you. He's on a short leash with me. If any
lost the audio.
You have?
No, the chat room is just all they're all saying all at once. They lost the audio. They said we went off like the Sopranos.
Wow! I hear you on on the phone. You're coming through fine.
Yeah, I hear you too.
And we're still on. We've got 6 minutes left. So
I was gonna say, did somebody start playing "Don't Start Believing"? This is the end of the Sopranos here. I mean, what's going on? I don't know. You know,
shut up, you mouth!
Garth's trying to beat me, man. It won't work. Garth's trying to beat me in there.
So,
we look better on the power play this year. Yeah, that's one.
Let me tell you, Amanda, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Doesn't it worry you the teams that we're playing and how bad those teams are and the way we've looked?
Yeah.
Does that concern you at all? I mean, we lost to the Islanders. We lost to Edmonton. We should have lost to Winnipeg. If it wasn't for was it the psycho third period against Calgary? We looked inept against Calgary. I mean, doesn't that worry you? Because that's what worries me, is when we make that step up, and is it as simple as Rock says as well, when we play the good teams, we play better?
You know what? I'm happier that they're doing it this time of the season, which is better than doing it midway through or down the stretch. If I don't see improvement, it's seven games in, and, you know, you're right, it's a really big thing to be worried about when they don't seem to be getting better as it goes on. It just seems to be the same. But the same is such a low level, yet again, you got points in every game but two and seven to start on the road. I got to look at that as a how resilient the team really is. And look, you know, it's not hopefully it's not going to be Hank having to win every game for him from here on out. They're going to, you know, event. I can't believe that second line is going to be as horrible as they've been, and you're going to find that these guys are going to get back to playing the games that they can play. Whether it's good enough to beat the elite teams after adding on the pieces we did, it's to be seen. You know, I'm not as worried about the defense as I am about the forwards. I think if the forwards come back around like they can play, the defense will take care of itself. While missing Staal is a big piece of it, I still think they're adequate enough to get through.
I think if we've reached any kind of conclusion, that second line, first of all, A, has to be given the opportunity.
Yes.
Not be broken up every 30 seconds or every cycle of shifts, and has to really come alive and give some goal support.
Mm-hmm.
So that third line can do what it does, and the third line's been okay. Fedotenko's been okay. Boyle's been okay. Prust has been okay. The fourth line, as far as I'm concerned, the Rangers shouldn't even have a fourth line. They play so little, it makes no difference.
Right, all the bitching about Christensen is ridiculous, considering that line gets a few minutes of ice time. The guy does nothing to hurt the team. I'm not saying he's a great player by any stretch, but to bitch about a fourth line, we need to get rid of him and put somebody else in there for the 3 minutes on the fourth line. To me, that's a moot point. You know, the third line is a good line. They've done their job. I think Boyle's had a good year, even though he hasn't scored like he did at the beginning of last year, but he's been consistent. Fedotenko has been fantastic. I think Prust came on better. That second line's been abysmal, and the first line, Stepan just looks confused, really. I mean, but I think he's been more physical this year than he's been in the past. I think he's trying to take that.
Tortorella has praised him for that he has been more physical. He's just got to hit the net.
I think that he actually, right. And you know, with that line, he's got to be able to do it. I mean, that line needs to
score!
I think they'll be fine. I think tomorrow it's going to be a big...
To the side!
And then what concerns me is the Saturday afternoon game against Ottawa after you have an emotional, you know, opening game of the season. Then do they lay the egg against Ottawa on Saturday afternoon? So,
yes.
Yeah, we got to get Dubinsky and Anisimov. That I don't think they've scored yet, those guys. Those guys got to pick it up.
No, and I'll tell you what, Anisimov's had a lot of chances, but he either picks up on the shot, shoots wide.
Yeah, exactly. He's missing the net. They're all missed. A lot of them are missing the net. I can't believe it. That's why we're getting them three-shot periods, man. I mean, they're missing them and getting blocked. It's horrible. It was horrible.
That's true, too. You need a little bit more sense of urgency, I think, even at this time of the year. And not urgency in the season might be over, but urgency as in you step up your play to that kind of level rather than going through motions where it seems like they're doing.
Do you three guys think that the Rangers have been as physical this year as they were last?
No.
I don't think so either, but you know what I see? I see more, I've seen them, I mean, when one guy goes down, I've seen them going right after the guy, you know, whoever does something to one of their teammates. I see them getting ready to fight, man, and they've done it a couple times, and I like that. We haven't seen that in the past. I mean, we've seen it a little bit last year, but all of a sudden this team seems to you know, see one, you know, you're going to knock one of our guys out, we're going to come get you, and that's what it looks like.
All right. Yeah, I could get that. I mean, I hear you on that.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Somebody knocked. I don't remember who it was. It was like like 5-6 days ago, whatever it was, and it got knocked off the boards. And I don't remember who it was. It just jumped right on, you know, right after him and stuff. And it was a fight. And that's what I want to see. You know, I mean, I don't want to see the guy standing
right,
around a few years ago when
just going out there and hitting, and I don't think they've been that physical.
No, they
really
haven't.
Don't.
They haven't.
They have to be, and the Rangers have to be.
I think Price is the only guy that does it on a consistent basis every night.
Even him, I've seen. I see fights a lot, but they got
to
start banging.
I
well,
like
fellas,
Russ's
got to
stop fighting every night.
Yeah,
that's true. Russ's got to pick up some of that slack.
Yeah, isn't that what I got, Rupp? I mean, Russ,
exactly.
The injuries, he's going to wear himself out. And
I'd like to see Rupp get more time. I think he's been a guy that can score 10 to 15 goals. He's the physical presence in front of the power play that'll screen a goaltender. I don't think you can get five skill guys out there all the time for the way the Rangers play and make the power play work.
Yep, I agree on all points, Vandar. There's no arguments between me and you tonight.
I'm too tired.
I think that's because you're feeling a little bit down. If you had your normal
he's not
stuff, 100%. It would be a brawl fest.
He's had a concussion, but it's nothing to worry about.
Right.
Yeah, man, it's a long way to go, man. I ain't going to worry yet.
Yeah.
That's right. I agree with Jim. James, it's going to be a long year of pain and suffering.
Misery.
Yeah, so we'll be up, we'll be down. It's a Ranger roller coaster. Fasten your seatbelts. We've been through it a million times.
That's it. We know the ride. We know every curve, man, every peak and valley. We know it's going to happen. You know, it's just a matter
of
time.
All right, everybody, thank you for joining us on this wondrous broadcast. People now listening into the podcast, catch us on Facebook at Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Catch us at blueshirtunderground.com. Donate your money to keep us on the air forever. T-shirts are available with keychains. We got, no, we don't have keychains. So what else do we have?
I was going to say, we got keychains?
No, we don't got those yet.
You can get a keychain, a picture of Eddie and I in your keychain.
That's
right.
One I want.
But James and Amanda, I appreciate you guys joining us. As always, a lot of fun. And, you know, just had a good time tonight. And I thank everybody for listening. Jim, as always, a total pleasure.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, enjoy the game tomorrow night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, take it easy. Have a good night.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.